Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatarine Om Jnanati Mirandhasa Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam jena tasmai Sri Guruve Namo Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadatisya Padantisham Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathantam Sam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitam Vancha Kalpa Taruvesya Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebho Vaishnavibho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Logan, there's a new man.
Should work.
Sunny back. This is a good question. A new one from the US.
So, welcome back to Chaitanya Charitamrita, our discussion. We finished the first chapter of the Adi Leela. And now, we will finish today and then we'll start with the second today. Hopefully, we'll see. So,
I'm going to give a little follow Shruti by Srila Prabhupada in the summary of second chapter. So Srila Prabhupada writes, this chapter that we are going to begin, second chapter, stresses that a devotee must have knowledge of four things I categorize. One is Krishna's personal form, his three principal energies and their functions. Very interesting. These three principal energies are internal potency, marginal, us, and the external. And their three functions, Satchidananda. Then third is his pastimes. And the fourth is the relationship of the living entities with him in order to advance in Krishna consciousness. Very nice. So Srila Prabhupada emphasized how important this chapter is in order for us to progress in spiritual life.
But just to clarify, right now I'm going to do the lecture from last time, which we didn't go through, which is the first chapter. Can you hear me? No? So we're discussing the types of incarnations. My voice is kind of soft, unfortunately. But if I speak next to it, then there is. So the types of incarnations of Krishna is what we will discuss in the first part of today's discussion, and then we look at the second part where we start the second chapter. Yeah. Types of incarnations. Of course, the word incarnation is just a loose English translation of the word avatar. Avatar literally in Sanskrit means to descend. It doesn't really mean coming in the flesh. So karne, the flesh. Incarnate means come in the flesh. But Krishna doesn't come in the flesh. So in that sense, incarnation is, but there isn't really a word available for avatar. That's how it's understood. So, or has been historically used. So the types of avatars of Krishna. Charitamrita continues, the 1.65 through 66. Ishwarira avatara etina prakara, amsha avatara araguna avatara. Shaktyavesha avatara tritya e mata, amsha avatara purusha matsyadika yata. So this discussion is really explaining basic concepts in the chapter, also in the second one, and really throughout the Adilila. There are three categories of incarnations of Godhead. Partial incarnations, so this refers to the Amsha avatar, partial incarnations. Qualitative incarnations, Guna avatar. And empowered incarnations, Shaktyavesha avatar. The Purushas, so the example is given here, the Purushas and Matsyas are partial incarnations, Amsha avatars. The Purusha refers to, the Purushas are the three types of Purushas, the Karana Dakshai Vishnu, the Garbha Dakshai Vishnus, and Kshira Dakshai Vishnus. These are collectively called the Purushas, also known as expansions of Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And then the different avatars like Matsya, Kurma, etc. are also counted here as Amsha avatars. And then the Guna avatars we'll see as we go along. And Shaktyavish avatars are the other two categories of Godhead. Brahma Vishnu Shiva Tina Gunat Avatare Gani Shaktyavish Sanakadi Prithu Vyasamuni. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva are Guna avatars. Prabhupada translates the word Guna as qualitative avatars. Empowered incarnations, Shakti Avesha. Shakti is power. So sometimes Krishna gives certain potencies of his in certain individuals. And then they are empowered. Empowered incarnations are like the Kumaras, who are empowered with the potency of knowledge. King Prithu is described in great detail in the Bhagavatam. And Mahamuni Vyasa, the compiler of the Vedas. So these are empowered with certain potencies, knowledge, strength, you know, strength of governance, and so on. Dvi Rupe, yes.
We all can chant the sloka and then Prabhu can just.
I should say. Dvi Rupe Haya Bhagavan Nira Prakasha Ekata Prakasha Haya Arya Utta Vilasa. The personality of Godhead exhibits himself. Now these are not avatars like Amsha or Shakti or Guna, but these are Krishna himself, but in two kinds of forms, Prakasha and Vilasa. Further categories. Prakasha avatars, example is given here. When the personality of Godhead expands himself in many forms, all non-different in their features, as Lord Krishna did when he married 16,000 queens and performed his rasa dance, and when he performed his rasa dance, such forms of the Lord are called manifested forms. Prakasha means manifestation or coming to light. Or question? Yeah. Is the microphone working? Did we get it in work? So it must be the second computer. There is a computer that you have to restart or something. Anyway, we will not worry about it.
Just the power to
incarnation. I understand. That means in quality they're the same.
No. So qualitative incarnation does not mean that in quality Brahma is the same as Krishna. So qualitative incarnation means really the quality of sattva, raja and tamaguna. And these are the presiding deities of those gunas, of those qualities. These are psychological states, you know, these are states of the mind, sattva, raja and tama. And correspondingly the activities of the deities are different. Brahma creates, so that is a quality of, you know, passion, you could say. And Shiva is destruction. But as Chaitanya Charitamrita will make it clear later on, Vishnu, even though he is the presiding deity of sattva in this trinity, is not touched by Maya in any way, whereas the other two, Brahma and Lord Shiva, are to some extent. And so there is a distinction. Vishnu always remains Vishnu, always beyond Maya, untouched, always transcendental. So, that answer your question?
Yeah, I was just going to
go. Yeah, the qualitative means. You want to answer?
Something else. Same word, the quality.
The guna means also the quality of, good quality also, not only just Maya. But here it refers what it says, the material nature.
Just the way it was worded, I thought they're like quality, like they're the same. You know, the
guna also means rope, tie. Because these three ropes the Maya Devi has, we call guna, ties us up. So they are the predominating deity of those three. So that's why Brahma Shiva is called, considered the guna avatar, Vishnu also.
Isn't there an example in the Bhagavatam, I'm just recalling, in the first canto, where the ropes, where the human beings are likened to bulls, and then the ropes are tied to their rings around their nose, and then they are controlling the bulls. You remember that analogy? So the personality of Godhead exhibits himself in two kinds of forms, prakasha and vilasa. Prakasha means identical forms, no difference between the different forms. That means they are as Prabhupada sometimes uses the word self-same. There's absolutely no difference in them. Same potency, same beauty, same everything. They are the same person. Now how is this possible? Well, Krishna has inconceivable powers. And so we should not doubt that Krishna can do this. We can't say that any of the 16,000 forms are the real Krishna and then the rest of the 15,999 are not, are somehow less. So this is his inconceivable potency. Chitram bataita dekena vapusha yugapat prithak griheshu dviyashta sahasram striya eka udavahat. This is the 1.71. It is astounding, Chitram Bhata. It is astounding that Lord Shri Krishna, who is one without a second, so there is nobody like him, but there are 16,000 like him, expanded himself in 16,000 similar forms to marry 16,000 queens in their respective homes. This is astounding. Rasotsavaha sampravritto gopi mandala manditaha Yogeshwarena Krishnena Tasamadhe Dvayogvayaho. When Lord Krishna, surrounded by groups of cowherd girls, began the festivities of the Rasa dance, the Lord of all mystic powers placed himself between each two girls. This is from the Bhagavatam, I assume. Anekatra prakatata rupasya ekasya ekada sarvatha tatsvarupaiva sa prakasha itidyate. If numerous forms, all equal in their features, are displayed simultaneously, such forms are called prakasha vigraha of the Lord. But when the numerous forms are slightly different from one another, they are called vilasa vigrahas, slightly different. When the Lord displays numerous forms with different features by His inconceivable potency, such forms are called vilasa vigrahas. Examples of such Vilasa Vigrahas are Baladev, Narayan in Vaikuntha Dham, and the Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So that's two types of expansions, of forms of Krishna. So it's interesting that they're slightly different. Baladev is slightly different from Krishna. But you would say that there are gradations, so Narayan would be much different from Krishna compared to Baladev's difference, you would think. And then Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, they are even farther removed from Krishna. Do you want to add something? So, these are the different expansions. Then, Ishwara Shakti, now Krishna's energies, potencies are being discussed. Internal potencies. Ishwara Shakti Haya Etina Prakara Eka Lakshmi Gana Pure Mahishi Gana Ara Vraja Gopi Gana Ara Sabhate Pradhana Vrajendra Nandanaya Te Swayam Bhagavan. The energies in brackets, consorts of the Supreme Lord are of three kinds. The Lakshmis in Vaikuntha, the Queens in Dwaraka, and the Gopis in Vrindavan. The Gopis are the best of all, for they have the privilege of serving Shri Krishna, the primeval Lord, the son of the king of Puraja. So we had Prakasha and Vilasa, and now we have consorts of three kinds. Is there a question? Swayam Rupa Krishna Kaya Vyuha Tanra Sama. I don't know, I got this wrong. Bhakta Sahita Haya Tanhara Avaranam. The personal associates of the primeval Lord Shri Krishna are his devotees who are identical with him. He is complete with his entourage of devotees. So, Swayam Rupa Krishnera Kaya Vyuha Tanrasama Bhakta Sahita Haya Tanhara Avarana. This is basically referring to his devotees and the fact that the devotees are identical with him. So, what does that mean? Identical. Are they Krishna or are they not?
Kaya Vyuha. Wow. Kaya Vyuha means a particular desire develops in the heart of the Lord on his own, not by influence by others. Of course, the devotees' relationship create also desire. We should make sure always understanding that Krishna's desire is not dependent, like my desire, if I feel cold, is dependent on Maya creating the cold. So I think I'm the body. So the desire that I have is dependence. It's coming from another influence of the energy. If you feel hungry, it's not really you actually hungry, but you identify as a body. So Maya created this body, and then you identify as a body, then you feel hungry. So our desire has an influence by another energy. Krishna's desire is not like this. Krishna's desire by his own right. It's never. So when he desires to expand his pastimes, then one form comes out from his body. These are called Kaya Vyuha. And that's how he further. But there's a particular purpose on that, with the desire. For particular, fulfilling particular purpose, the particular form is developed. Like that.
So would these forms be classified as Krishna's expansions, or
is it Krishna's expansion, and then from Radharani all the Shakti expanding. Of Krishna's expansion.
So the question was, are the personal associates his potencies or are they Krishna himself?
They are personal associates. Now, in Brahma Vimohan Lila, Sanatana Goswami Pad writes that when Brahmaji came to see after 1 year, He saw that Krishna is busy playing just like the way the whole setup of the stage was exactly like the way he left before. No, where he saw first. And then he stole the coward boys and the calves, and then he saw Krishna depressed, searching for the, and then he left. When he came back, after 1 year, he saw the first scenery, he saw exactly same scenery. So then he, in his calculation, he started to calculate, maybe there is another set of coward boys in the village. Or maybe Krishna just has a mystic power, he just brought those boys from the cave and display. While I'm looking, maybe I should go there, and he go there and see them still like tundra, like unconscious. Yeah. And then he expanded his four eyes in one way and the four eyes other way. Then he saw simultaneously actually both boys are exist. So then he got confused. There must be something. Then when he started seeing that verse caused this ajita avaso nirdesha guna vigraha ajita avaso tarsh adikam, that this creature, the forest, everything around, it's like they are different creation than my creation. Then he says he saw that the deer and the lion, they're hugging, and then the python and the mice, they're crying for Krishna. Then this is not my creation. So he started reflecting on his own. Maybe I'm doing mistake. This is not something I created. In my creation, mouse and the python never hug for Krishna and cry. And they are not eating each other, supposed to be eating. So then he got down from the swan, and then he thought he did a mistake. Then when he bowed down, then he started seeing the another scenery, that all those coward boys, even the banana peel, even the lunch bag, even the rope, fruits, leaves and other, everything transformed into Vishnu form. So that's original form of all those coward boys and everything. Prabhupada writes in 13th chapter, 10th canto, that Krishna is known as Govindam Adi Purusham. Adi Purusham means the origin of all form. Not only primeval Lord, He is primeval Lord, but Adi Purusham also means the form of all those forms that exist.
So the coward boys were not stolen before they were stolen.
Yeah.
Those coward boys are also living?
No, those are the Baladev expansion of not Tatastha Jiva, but Baladev Jiva.
So they have
manifested here. Yes. Yeah.
All these are
last
dimensions.
Yes.
There are also the last dimensions.
Baladev, we just mentioned. From Baladev, they expanded. All the Brajavasi, even the holy dham is Sandini potency. It's all Baladev expansion in that sense. It is Sandini potency, and then all the form of Kayabhuha means that by the desire and the mood, it's expanding. It's still expanding. It's not like a limited. It's still expanding. We don't know how far it will go because there is no end. It's Ananta. Advaitam Ananta. Ananta.
Is him that's the same, but then the Vilasa looks different.
Different form. Yeah.
So then the devotees are the secondary form of that Vilasa. Okay.
From Baladev Prabhu, one sets of one sets of expansion manifest in Brajadham. They had no touch of this material world, they never saw. There is no such thing. Then from Baladev Prabhu also he himself expanded as Mula Sankarsan. Then from Mula Sankarsan another expansion of the living entity manifest in Mahavaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwarka, like this, Mathura. Then in Vaikuntha he also expand himself as Sankarsan. So from Sankarsan another expansion comes and they are serving, they are all servant. They are also have no touch with this material world. The idea of the living being over there has nothing to do with the Maya. There is never touch. They are Nitya Siddha, you can say. But then when Sankarsan comes out, then we are at the marginal stage. That's a, we are coming and that's a Viraja. That's a, another issue. We haven't come to that point. Because you will find that verse somewhere here, maybe second chapter.
Yes.
Jivanama tatasthakya eka shakti hai. Jivanama tatasthakya eka shakti hai. Mahasankarsan sarva jivere ashray. So, and Prabhupada explained further about it. This is nice, I'm glad everybody participated.
We don't have a second microphone. Try to use it. It's mystic.
So, is it that all parikars in Vrindavan are expansions of Baladev Prabhu and are thus in the category of Vilas Vigraha? That's my question. Is it that all the parikars in Vrindavan, Vajrasis, are expansions of Baladev Prabhu and so they are in the category of Vilas Vigraha of Krishna? Is that
Vilas Vigraha, yes, in a sense that they are in a service mood. They have a different form and service mood.
But they are not, like Baladev is also Bhagavan. Nandana is also Bhagavan.
But he has an abhiman
in Tattva.
Sankula Rati.
But is there some difference also because although there are expansions of Balaram, Balaram is Vishnu Tattva. The parikara in, like the Vrajvasis, Nandamala is
Shakti Tattva.
They are Shakti Tattva.
They are Shakti Tattva.
Okay.
But under,
so they are not Vilas Vigraha, strictly speaking.
No, you can say they are Vilas Vigraha. Not Vishnu Tattva Vilas Vigraha. They are Shakti Tattva.
Okay.
Just like from Srimati Radharani, all the Vrajagopis coming in Vrajadham.
Yes.
Similarly, from Baladev Prabhu, all the male personification, they are expanding.
Okay.
Their origin is in Vilas. Origin, all of them has a Vilas. But they are Antaranga Shakti. Yeah, internal potency. Sandini potency create the form and Samvit potency create the relationship. And predominating deity of Samvit potency is Krishna himself, and then Ladini or pleasure potency is Srimati Radharani, is the predominating deity. Yes, Prabhu.
So, Prabhu, do we have examples of Tatastha Shakti who are eternal associates, or most of them are, all of them are Vilas?
You have Tatastha
So, do they...
It explains...
I mean, do they descend with him whenever he is...
Because when we come... When we come to that point, we'll discuss more. Otherwise, we'll go off. He's going to keep me in track. I want to learn like lesson has to be.
So,
but we'll discuss that. We'll discuss that.
There's so many verses.
Those verses are there. That, who are there? That's right.
Okay, we'll go. Yeah.
I just want to say that Prabhupada's purport says that for this verse, 1.81, this Prabhupada says Shri Krishna and his various personal expansions are non-different in potential power. These expansions are associated with further secondary expansions or servitor expansions.
Yes.
Who are called devotees. So actually this wouldn't be Shakti then. This would be his own expansions, like you were saying the first time.
The first set, we are everywhere, in every
universe that Krishna is displaying the Leela, everywhere Krishna is displaying the Leela, those like Dadas Gopal, for an example, the 12 Gopals, they are as like Balaram, they are in everywhere. Simultaneously they are everywhere. They are not like us. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaiva Dharma, he says, in this Kali Yuga, by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, the Tadastha Jiva, the marginal Jiva, they are developing two forms. You can participate with Krishna, Radha Krishna in the spiritual world. Also you are participating in Shatadvip, Navadvip in spiritual world with Mahaprabhu. So you can have both forms. Some exceptional privilege given, which is never given, very rare, like Jagai Madhav. They have a dasya as a joy bijoy in the one of the seventh gate keeper, they are there. But when they descended as a Jagai Madhav, after three pastimes with as a Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravan, Kumbhakarna and Shishupal, Dantapakra, then as a Jagai Madhav, now they are also participating in Lord Chaitanya's. So that's very rare. It's not visible any other ages. That's why it's very rare, extremely rare. We are very fortunate. We should take advantage of it as quick as possible. We should understand this problem.
So, to summarize, I think what's going on here is that the Kaya Vyuha is Krishna's expansions. They're secondary expansions, but they're Krishna's expansions, not his potencies. And Prabhupada says that they're equal in power. I'm reminded of this verse from the Bhagavatam, this situation where Krishna is entering Dwaraka, the first canto, and all the Yadus are going with him. People have come to welcome him. And at that point, there's a verse that says, they are equal in power and strength to Krishna. Mm-hmm. There's a verse like that, and they're entering. So it would be fair to say, I think, that jives with what Prabhupada is writing in the purport, that they have equal opulence. And then the gopis are the Shakti Vilasas. So that concludes our presentation here, and I'm going to go to the next one.
Already you finished
number one. We finished. Wow! Thank you for joining. We'll end with the chapter 2. Very fortunate.
Last week
you
discussed all
the purpose. No, that's later on. The purpose, the confidential and the external.
Chapter 4.
3 and 4. Huh?
You discussed this.
Yeah, we did 14 verses of glorification of the Panchatattva was a big part of the Adilila first chapter. And then another part which you discussed last time, which was the lecture last time? You talked about the spiritual masters, I think. Yeah, last week was spiritual masters. And then the last part of that chapter was what we discussed just now, is the expansions of Krishna. And now in Adilila.
What will be like to spend maybe more time?
Yeah. But so his confidential and his external reasons are chapter 3 and 4. So we'll get to that.
Krishna.
It's not the same one.
Sat-bhat-pavadiham sa-chakra-madhupa-shreni-viharaspadam Parnanandikaladhanirvahatume Jivamaru prangane
Shri Chaitanya Dayanidhe Tava Vasam Leela Sudha Swarbhuni. So I thought when I saw this verse that this must be that verse, but it isn't. It's a different verse. It's close. So the meaning of this is the beginning of the Adi Leela, second chapter. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has this style of offering and composing original prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in many, many such chapters in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He begins like that. In the purport, I look for it and it doesn't say that this is from somewhere else. So I'm assuming that this is his own composition. Oh, my merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarian Ganges waters of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue. Poetry. This is poetry. You should appreciate this.
Yeah.
My tongue is desert-like. Desert means there is no water there. And he's saying that the Ganga of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, let that flow on my tongue. That means let me speak Krishna Katha, Chaitanya Katha. That's what it's such beautiful poetry.
Yeah.
What's that? It is beautiful, yeah. The Sanskrit is also amazing. Beautifying these waters, so now he's referring to the nectarian pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that are now flowing on his tongue. So first he requested they should flow, and now they are flowing in his mind's eye. And now these waters have been beautified by the lotus flowers of singing, dancing and loud chanting of Krishna's holy name.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. I mean, Prabhupada's translation is also poetic. These devotees are compared to swans, ducks and bees. The river's flowing produces a melodious sound that gladdens their ears. So it's, sometimes I find these poems difficult to grasp, comprehend. But this one is not so bad, I guess. But other poems, so you could draw it, yeah. It's like a picture. This is now what he's doing is this whole this Adi Leela second chapter is heavy philosophy, and what he's going to do is prove he's already shown that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, not a vilas, not anything else, but the original Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. But to hammer this point home, he's going to revisit it, and he's going to show how the Bhagavatam explains that the Supreme can be perceived depending on the qualification of the perceiver in different ways, and how Bhagavan is the Supreme understanding, the highest understanding, and then how Sri Chaitanya is that Lord, that Bhagavan. This is kind of the flow of logic in this part of the chapter. What's the right meter here? Let's see. Shadaishvayai Purnayai Bhagavan Sasvayamayam Na Chaitanya Krishna Jagati Paratattvam Paramya. This was also in the first chapter, so he's repeating it here. What the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but the effulgence of his body. And the Lord known as the Super Soul, Paramatma, is but his localized plenary portion. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, full with six opulences. He is the absolute truth, and no other truth is greater than or equal to him. So I have been challenged by others that maybe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an avatar, maybe he's an expansion. In the Vallabha Sampradaya, they think that Vallabhacharya, they think that he is an incarnation. They don't say that he is Swayam Bhagavan. They also call him Mahaprabhu. So that they feel that maybe Lord Chaitanya is like that. But Krishnadas Kaviraj, that's why he's writing these books, these verses. He's saying, no, he is Krishna himself, Swayam Bhagavan. And so this Swayam Bhagavan comes in the Bhagavatam. That's where this the sequence of words comes. You say something? Brahma Atma Bhagavan Anuvadatina Anga Prabha Amsha Swarupatina Vidheya Chinna. Impersonal Brahman with localized Paramatma and the personality of Godhead are three subjects, and the glowing effulgence, the partial manifestation and the original form are their three respective predicates. So he's Krishnadas first makes a literary argument, and I didn't put that in great detail here because I kind of just thought I would summarize it. And the argument is that every sentence has a subject and it has a predicate. We learn this in English grammar, although I'm beginning to forget all this stuff. But so it's some might say that Krishna is the expansion of the avatar and Narayan is the supreme. So he says, no, that's faulty because the grammar would be, you know, the grammar is faulty in that interpretation. You are making the subject the predicate and the predicate the subject. And so this is why he says, no, Krishna is being referred to as Swayam Bhagavan. In the same way here, he is using grammar again to say that the subjects of the sentence, if you will, are Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. And then their attributes, their qualities, their characteristics are the predicate, and those are Brahman is the glowing effulgence of the Lord, the partial manifestation of the Lord, and the original form is the personality of Godhead. So these are attributes or predicates of the sentence. This is kind of the logic here. Does that make sense? Yeah.
For the original form of Krishna, like when he was a youth, like when his youth began.
What is the question?
Like what was his age?
Oh, like, Kishora. So he's Kishora Avastha. 15 years and some months.
15?
No, 9 months. But that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's a good question. So it will come later on that he is that Govinda himself in that form. That's a great question, actually.
That's a good age. I like it.
15 is a good age? You like it? You like to be eternally 15?
Yeah, Prabhupada says Krishna's
age. Yeah.
Original form.
Yes.
Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika by Rupa Goswami, it says that Krishna's age, eternal age is, we say 16, but the actual age, it says, you probably know this, right, Govind? It's 15 years, 9 months.
7 and 5.
And how many days?
7 and 5.
27.
7
and 5. No. 15 years, 9 months, and 27 days.
Oh, he's saying 27 days. There is disagreement. That's okay.
Some mistake. That's what I read. 7.5 days, you're saying? We'll have to look it up, I guess.
And then what did Prabhupada say after that? Prabhupada says in teachings of Lord Chaitanya that after
Krishna arrives to that age, he never grow. He stays there eternally. So when? When did he become? For effulgence?
9 months, 15 years, 9 months, normal 16. Sweet 16, waiting for you to become.
Ah, is that what they call sweet 16?
He's adopted in his terms, he's always there. You know, how old are you when you get cows instead of cows?
Six.
Six.
Gopastami. The festival called Gopastami. Yes, Prabhu.
So, Prabhu, the glowing effulgence is the all pervading Brahman. That's what we can understand from this work?
Yes.
So, And it says the partial manifestation is Paramatma. So Paramatma in itself is not complete. That's what you mean. But Krishna Tattva, as soon as it expands, it is complete in itself, right?
It is complete. It is complete, but person who perceive it, seeing difference. Just like moon is always complete or not? In the moon world. Moon planet, moon is always complete, yes? But from our angle, we see crescent 5 days, 10 days, oh, it's becoming full moon. All right, it's a complete full moon. But then there is a time that we have a new moon, means no moon. We call new moon. In English it's very interesting. When there's no moon, they call new moon. Why? So that's a perception. But the moon is always complete. So Krishna is like this. Krishna is complete, completely complete. But until you develop love for Him, He is Paramatma in your heart. When you develop love for Him, the Paramatma actually reveal that form of your Ishtadev, your worshipable object. So you have to reveal that. Krishna is always there. Krishna is always there. But the Brahman and Paramatma, there's a little difference is, Brahman is not Vishnu Tattva. Paramatma is Vishnu Tattva. But Brahman is never Vishnu Tattva. Vishnu, you have a Bhagavad Gita here. In the chapter 4, chapter 7, sloka 4, Bhumiya apanalo vayu khammana buddhireva cha hankaro iti amme vinna prakriti rastada. In the middle of the purport, you will see Prabhupada writes that Brahman is also, Brahma Jyoti is energy. It's not Vishnu Tattva. But it's a Nirvishes Tattva. Nirvishes Tattva means that Tattva which does not have variety. There is no pastimes. There is no anything visible to anyone. In the Bhumi Apanalo, in the middle you will find somewhere, Prabhupada writes, it is Nirvishesh Tattva means there is no personality, nothing visible. Like in the womb of a lady is pregnant 1 month old. If you look at her stomach before pregnant and after pregnant 1 month old, there is no significant visible. You found it?
Yes.
You can read it.
Even the Brahma Jyoti, which is the ultimate goal of the impersonalist, is a spiritual energy manifested in the spiritual sky. And the sentence before that is saying, the ingredients of the material manifestation are separated energies of the Lord. So it's in the context of energies that is being discussed.
Mama Jani Mahat Brahma, Mama Jani Mahat Brahma, Tasya Garham Dadami Aham. So this material nature is also Brahma in that sense. So but these are Nirvishes Brahman, not the Supreme Brahman. We say Ho Vagyam, Ho Vagyam, Nanda Gopa Vasistha. Jat Mitrani Paramananda, Purna Brahma is Krishna, Supreme Lord, is a person. Then in second canto, Sukhdev Goswami explains, second canto there is 10 chapter and there is a 3 universal form. 6 chapter, 10 chapter and second universal form in the second canto. In the 6th chapter, where the second universal form Sukhdev Goswami was explaining, then he explained that in the beginning the Supreme Brahman desire, by his desire, this impersonal Brahman, Brahma Jyoti, spread everywhere, and particular part of that impersonal Brahman is covered by this material nature called Mahat Brahma. We call material world. So in that sense, everything is floating on the Brahma Jyoti, even the material world. So Brahma Jyoti is not Vishnu Tattva, it's a Shakti Tattva, but it's Nirvishesh Tattva, it's not exactly Shakti Tattva that we discuss, Shakti Tattva. Because Shakti Tattva has a Satchidananda found intact, maybe not visible, but the intact. Yeah, all potency has the intact of these 3 potency. Satchit Ananda. But Nirvishesh Tattva is like no variety, that's all it is.
This part has always confused me. I've heard this before, not from you alone, but
I don't know where else, reading somewhere in Prabhupada's books. That the Brahman is somehow the, that the material energy is Brahma, but it's just covered over. But then that kind of contradicts what Krishna says, that he's making divisions, apara and para. The para is the conscious and the apara is the inferior, because it's not conscious, that's why we call it jada. But if everything is conscious and it's just degrees of how much consciousness is manifested, even in the material world, then, so then the, if the material energy is also conscious, I'm saying, then there's no difference between anything. But then, you know, Krishna's point that it's my inferior energy, Ashtabha, this Prakriti, that becomes, you know, that becomes contradicted. Also, when Vishnu glances at Prakriti, he is impregnating this Prakriti with jivas. So that means that Prakriti is without, is not conscious, is not in the jiva category, and it had, and like Mahabrahma, Yoni, and then he had to put the jivas in there. So I get really confused when the Prakriti itself also is called conscious. Then are these, what kind of consciousness then? Is this jiva consciousness? If they are jivas, you know, are atoms jivas? And they are, so it becomes complicated. Prabhupada is on record saying that even atoms have, but he doesn't say atoms are jivas. He says that there are jivas in the, yeah. I forget what he says, but in the atom.
Sarvagata means everywhere, even in the atom. Now here you see, here what Prabhupada says. So high. The word Brahma, Brahman, means spiritual. The Lord is spiritual, and the rays of His transcendental body are called Brahma Jyoti, His spiritual energy, effulgence. Everything that exists is situated in this Brahma Jyoti. But when the Jyoti is covered by illusion or sense gratification, Maya, interesting, it is called material. So it is conscious.
But is he referring to the jiva in the body, maybe? I think.
The elements, the material elements. Material elements.
So it's conscious, like, if you're, you can't perceive that it is conscious.
See, when you have a, like for an example, right at this moment, I'm dressing this body, I'm feeding this body, I'm identifying this body. So where the soul? Body consciousness. You follow? If I say, what is the physical body? Physical body is that I dress, I feed, I say who I am, you know, identify. So that's physical body. And then you have a soul body, or I, Pran Govinda Das, as a spiritual being, that you can say, Satchidananda, that existential, then cognition, and then you can say pleasure. But this source of consciousness emanating not from mind, not from the body, not from, only from the soul. But when it is coming, the thinking, willing, feeling, to this material, the physical body that I identify as a, you know, I have a, what do you call, burgundy shirt, you know, beard, anyway, you know what I meant. So, thank you. So, thinking, willing, feeling from the soul, how does it come to this physical? There is a route. The root of consciousness is the soul. And the route it takes, that subtle body. That's why it changes from the origin to the sense enjoyment. And this is the fault where actually everything becomes covered or opera. But in the soul level, it is still para.
What is matter? Is matter also Brahman? If it is, Brahman is by definition.
It is. It is.
The Brahman by definition is conscious.
Yes, so it is conscious.
This matter is also conscious.
But so long I'm thinking, right now we are using this microphone. And it appears like matter, but actually when we are using for Krishna service, it is, that's why in this purport Prabhupada writes, when the conscious reality, Brahman, reveals in the dead matter, any time that we offer a banana, for an example, let's think like that, You offer the banana. And we are offering the banana, we chant the mantras and we offer this. Now the banana, when I was looking at it, I really did look at it. It's almost too much ripened part of the banana. That's like a tamagun. And part of the banana is not completely ripened. That's a rajagun. And little part of the banana, really nicely ripened, sattagun. So sattva raja tama, even if the peel of the banana is there, literally. So when I chant the mantra and I offer to Krishna under Guru's guidance, that time actually it changed, the banana now is Brahman, is Mahaprasad, is pure spirit, is nothing to do with sattva raja tama. It's the same question Sanatana Goswami Pada asked, that Kamsa grabbed from Devaki, this Jogamaya. The moment he grabbed, was no more Jogamaya, is Mahamaya. But when? I raised that question. When the Jogamaya became Mahamaya or Mahamaya, was it the same? He said, because Kamsa has the exploitation, and exploitation has the two definitions he gives. Exploitation means you want to enjoy and you want to control. This is Sanatana Goswami Pada. So that exploitation mood transformed the Jogamayas from Devaki's lap into Mahamaya. So the same sense gratification. When the sense gratification is there, this is dead matter. Otherwise, this is actually Brahman.
Thank you for that. Maybe we should revisit that. I'm not completely convinced, but yes.
I've been at least 15 years, I'm just on ground in a clear definition.
Brahman?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Brihat.
It's everything.
Brihat Kvap means bigger than Vyas.
There is nothing bigger than Brahman. What is the definition of Brahman? There's many definitions. We'll discuss as soon as you come to the Brahman. We'll discuss all the definitions. There's so many definitions we collected actually as a Brahman.
This Brahman has been discussed at great depth by Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbhas. So if you look at the Bhagavad Sandarbha, also to some extent in the Paramatma Sandarbha, he has clearly defined what Brahman is, its attributes, what the Jiva is, the Jiva's attributes. So.
But Brahman is a potency.
The question is Brahman a potency? Well, you want to answer?
Yes and no. If you go to chapter 8, Bhagavad Gita, second, third verse, that Jiva is also addressed Krishna as a Brahman. The six things you're supposed to know in the chapter 8, before you leave this world, Aksha Brahma Yoga, before you leave this world, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, you must understand the six concept and the six question and answer given in chapter 8 Bhagavad Gita. So the second question was the Atma. Atma is Brahman. Krishna addresses a Brahman. Then if you go to 14th chapter, third verse, Mahajuni Mahat Brahma. So the material nature is also Brahman. Then Krishna, Arjuna addressed Krishna as a Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. You are Supreme Brahma. So there's Brahman is a vast conception. So there's a personal Bhagavan, Brahman, Supreme Brahman. From him, the impersonal Brahman comes. And from impersonal Brahman, by the Supreme Brahman desire, create a Mahat Brahma or material nature. But origin is all Krishna. But there's a difference. Manifestation of that Brahman by the desire. Nirvishesh Tattva is not Vishnu Tattva, and this material nature is not Vishnu Tattva either. It's covered. So there is illusory energy. And the Jiva is a Amsa, or not Amsa is like a Vishnu Tattva, but Divina Amsa. Simultaneously separated part and parcel. In Chaitanya Chaitamrita gives Bhivinna Amsa, but Bhivinna Amsa.
Anyway, yeah, this, yeah.
It wouldn't be like the Dalas, right?
No, the Brahman is nothing like that. Yeah. So, okay, let's go on. Just coming back to this one, impersonal Brahman, the localized Paramatma, and the personality of Godhead are three subjects, and the glowing effulgence, the partial manifestation, and the original form are their respective predicates. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Vishnu Paratattva Purna Jnana Purnananda Parama Mahatva. Krishna, so Swayam Bhagavan, these words are used over and over again. Krishna, the original form of the personality of Godhead, is the summum bonum of the all-pervading Vishnu. He is all perfect knowledge and all perfect bliss. He is the supreme transcendence. Vishnu, one of the meanings of Vishnu is, the word Vishnu is derived from, you know, if you analyze the Sanskrit, it means all pervading. Everywhere in the universe. In, right. So, the summum bonum, Vishnu para tattva. So, Prabhupada is saying that in his translation, that this all-pervading Vishnu is an aspect of Krishna. But Krishna is actually the highest understanding, or the highest, the supreme, actual supreme, original Lord, Advaya Tattva, who is the shelter of all of these. Expansions, vilayas, prakash, potencies, everything, material, spiritual, he is the shelter of all of these. He is the summum bonum of the all-pervading Vishnu also. He is all perfect knowledge, Purna Jnana, Purna Ananda, Parama Mahatva. It's just beautiful poetry from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Supreme transcendence, all perfect knowledge, all perfect bliss, fully conscious, Abhigya, that word comes in the first verse of the first canto, first chapter. All knowing, fully conscious of everything. Vedaham Samatitani Vartamanam Jarjun. I know everything. The present, bhavishyani cha bhutani, the past, future, but nobody knows me. Maam tu vedana question. Next verse, Nanda Sutta Bali Yanre Bhagavate Gai Sai Krishna Avatirna Chaitanya Gosai. He whom Srimad Bhagavatam describes as the son of Nanda Maharaj has descended to earth as Lord Chaitanya. So that there will be no confusion on this point, that this is Vrajendra Nandana. So this is Krishna in Vrajadham. That Krishna has descended as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is 24 and then becomes 48. So he seems to grow older than Krishna. It just occurred to me. So he can do that. He's inconceivable. But he is that Krishna. Prakasha visheshetena dharetina nama brahma paramatma arasvayam bhagavana. In terms of his various manifestations, he is known in three features. So this is the important thing, is that he is not one or the other. He is Krishna, the Supreme Person. But people, depending on their qualifications, are able to only know limited aspects of him. So yes, Brahman and this Paramatma are aspects of Krishna, but they are not completely Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the complete person. And then Brahman and Paramatma are his aspects that can be known by the perceiver. But it is better to know Krishna himself, Swayam Bhagavan. Because once you know Swayam Bhagavan, you naturally know everything else. You know the expansions, you know Paramatma, you know Brahman, everything, because they are all included in Krishna.
It's on.
So, this word Tina, see it up there? Tina?
Tina Nama,
what
three names.
What does Tina mean?
Tina means three.
Tina means what?
Three.
Three.
Okay. So, Tahara Angera Shuddha Kirana Mandala, Upanishad Kahe Tane Brahma Sunirmala. What the Upanishads call the transcendental, impersonal Brahman is the realm of the glowing effulgence of the same Supreme Person. And we have read that from his toenails, this effulgence comes from his toenails. Other places I have read that it is bodily effulgence. So anyway.
Mauli Ratna Mala Duti Nirajita Pada Panka Janta, all those verses that. Nikhila Sruti, Mauli Ratnamala, all this Veda, the knowledge, everything manifested from the tip, was the end of the toenail. Pada Pankaj Anta. Duti Nirajita. Means manifested, emanating all the time. That's the whole pastime of Lord Chaitanya. I'll tell at the end.
Okay, so Atmantaryami Yanve Yoga Shastrika Seha Govindera Amsha Vibhutva Yehaiva. He who is described in the Yoga Shastras, so this is Patanjali's, you know, Patanjali is the person who wrote the Yoga Shastras. So he who is described in the Yoga Shastras as the indwelling super soul, Atma Antaryami, is also a plenary portion of Govinda's personal expansion. So to unpack that, Govinda's personal expansion is? Baladev or Balaram, and then Balaram expands. And then you have the Chaturvyuha and everything. And then finally you get to Paramatma. So that's why he is a... Now the word plenary means complete. So he is a complete portion of Krishna's personal expansion. That's what it means. This is all quite inconceivable if you think of it. We are just getting these... sort of getting conceptual road, you know, maps of all of this, but really to understand this, inconceivable. Ananta svatike yache eka surya bhase taiche jive govindera amsha prakashe. As the one sun appears reflected in countless jewels, so Govinda manifests himself as Paramatma in the hearts of all living beings. There is another example in the Bhagavatam, first canto, where Paramatma is explained as Nana eva bhati vishvatma. The Paramatma is one, but he appears as many, just like fire comes from different wood, appears many, but there is one fire. In the same way, Paramatma appears as many, although he is one. That's the verse that is in the Bhagavatam. Athava bahunayatena kim nyatena tava arjuna vishtabhya eva. Ekamshena stito jagat. Somebody emailed, texted me.
Personality of
God. Okay, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna said, what more shall I say to you? I live throughout this cosmic manifestation merely by my single plenary portion. Ekamshena. Prabhupada translates amsha here as plenary portion. So, the point we should understand from this is that this verse, which is famous, is referring to Paramatma. Because the Amsha here is Paramatma. He's saying, just by my single plenary portion, I have pervaded this entire cosmic manifestation. So, immediately this is the Praman, the proof that Krishna is superior to Paramatma. There are a lot of people I have met in India that say that, you know, that their whole concept is Paramatma. You know, and also... also in the 13th chapter of the Gita, Paramatma. So they think that Paramatma is the goal. But Krishna is saying Paramatma is my amsha, it's just my one part. Question?
How come the synonyms aren't up there?
How come the synonyms are not up there? Because if I put the synonyms, then it will become too small to read. You won't be able to read. There will be too much text. I'm sorry. But
sorry.
If you had a nice big PowerPoint slide projector, then
we can send you an email.
Brahman. Like Brahman is also all pervading and all existing.
Okay, so Brahman, Paramatma, when the devotee perceives. Krishna, or expansions of Krishna, in the context of the material world, in maintaining the material world, in running it, in controlling it, when that understanding happens, then he is realizing Paramatma and not Brahman. Whereas those who want to merge into Brahman, that Brahma is beyond the material world. It's not in this world. This is described in the Brahma Samhita. So it's beyond the Viraja river even. It's beyond. And so that is not understanding that this material world is controlled and maintained, and that Paramatma Yatatam Idam Sarvam Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti, this Prakriti is running under somebody's control. That somebody is Paramatma. So once begins to understand that, that will be Paramatma realization. But really, Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna, is our goal. Prema Kumarati Mahan. But that Krishna is not in the material world, in the sense that he is playing his flute and playing in, you know, Vrajadham. But his expansion, or his amsha, Paramatma, is here.
In the material world.
So that's the gradation of understanding.
But Brahman is also not in the material world.
Right.
It's a separate cause altogether.
It's, except, like Prabhu was saying, there is some additional complexity that the material world itself is Brahman, but you know, you have to keep some concepts straight in your brain anyway. Okay. I took this sentence from Prabhupada's purport, which I liked. It says that the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita most emphatically stresses that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna himself. Because this was the whole point of it. Okay? He is not an expansion of the Prakasha or Vilasa forms of Krishna. He is the Swayam Rupa, and who? Govinda. So Govinda is the 15 years, 9 months and few days. 27 or 7.5. Make your pick. Maybe 27. Okay, I've rarely known Pranagavinda Prabhu's memory to fail. So.
No, I remember Sanatana Goswami's
answer, but I want to see Rupa Goswami Pad's translation on that. Sanatana Goswami Pad didn't talk about Radha Krishna Ganapati. He's talking on Dasami Tippani, his view. And he gives actually, you know, most description how Krishna's age and Krishna's expansion more than Rupa Goswami Pad. And Mahaprabhu explained to him in Chaitanya Charitamrita to Sanatana Goswami the details about expansion and everything. So there he mentioned Sanatana Goswami Pad. But it's possible, you know, one place says Lalita Sakhi took birth 2 days before Radharani. Another place it says 27 days before Radharani. It's nothing wrong, it's just that difference there of Brahma when they appear. Some Brahma Leela, she appeared 2 days before, and some Brahma's day, she appeared 27 days before. It's not a conflicting. Just like you have one Sukhdev Goswami, he came and he was tested in Janakpuri. And then another Sukhdev Goswami who went to study, who went to the forest, the disciple Suta Goswami Pad is explaining about his guru, who left. And then Tarava, the trees and everybody is replying to Basdev, who you crying for? It's very interesting. But that Sukhdev Goswami is also true, one day of Brahmajis. And then the other day of Brahmajis also, the Janak Raj, this is also evidence. It's not a conflict, it's just a different day of Brahmas. Because once one day of Brahma out of, what is it, 4,320,000,000 times 2, so then Krishna comes. 14 days makes one day of Brahma, 14 Manus. 14 Manu, and then 7th Manu, each Manu has a 71 Chaturjuga. And then 7th Manu's 28 Chaturjugas, end of Dwapara, the Swayam Bhagavan comes. And then followed Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. Extremely rare. Yes. I just said. You want me to repeat again?
Well, you have to calculate. One day of Brahma is 14 manantra. 14 manus day. Yeah, 14, but we have to calculate this way. If you want to calculate, you have to think like 14 manu makes one day of Brahma. Then 7 manu, you divide half, 7 manu, which is now Bhagavasata manu, on 7 manus, also 71, Chaturjuga, 4 juga makes 1. Then 28 Chaturjugas, end of Dwapara, original Krishna comes. And then followed Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. No, not every Dwapara. Every Dwapara comes, not original Krishna.
Chaitanya comes.
With Swayam Bhagavan, followed. No. Only once a day of Brahma, like Krishna, original Krishna. Yeah. That's Gaur Narayan, not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a little difference.
Okay. What do you see? Okay, so this is continuing on. Esadhara darshanite ache maya gandha Puriya Krishna Ranahi Maya Rasambandha. Now, what's being discussed is the Purushas. So we have the Garbhodakshai, Shiradakshai, all these different Vishnus. So Krishnadas Kaviraj is drawing a distinction between Krishna and these Purushas. Primarily because he's saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Govinda himself. Why is that significant? That's significant because again, Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He's different from the others. Why is he different or how is he different? So this is the answer I gave you was that these Purushas have a relationship with Prakriti, with Maya. Superficially we see that these Purushas have a relationship with Maya, but above them in the fourth dimension is Lord Krishna, who has no contact with the material energy at all whatsoever. So he's not, involved at all. The Paramatma is involved in the material world. And that's why there is a difference between them. Question. Microphone, please. Hold on. Hold on to the microphone.
Could you vaguely describe what it says? Yes. That's just outside of the material universe, correct?
What's the question?
The fourth dimension, I said.
Oh, the fourth dimension. Turiya. Turiya means it's not the material world. It's something beyond perception of the mind, beyond the perception of the ego, the intelligence and everything else. So you're directly connected to transcendence. At least that's how I understand it. That's the fourth dimension.
You can say one
short example.
Two dimensions, not
three dimensions. It's fourth dimension is beyond. If you meditate, just in a very short, I can say, if you meditate on we are awake now, we go to sleep, we go to dream, and then we go to deep sleep. So if you consider deep sleep is like samadhi, but deep sleep is not samadhi. Don't misunderstand, that's not what I'm trying to say. But it is like samadhi in a sense that in a deep sleep, you don't have any memory of this world or anything, because the consciousness that was emanating from the soul through the psychological body to the physical body, it revert. It came so close to the heart that all the memory it's stored in the mind and the senses disappeared. So that's deep sleep. But samadhi is almost like this, that they literally retrace all the consciousness, thinking, willing, feeling into the Lord in a such a way that Sahasra Shishya is right here and the yogi, they meditate. Brahmarandra is right in the middle, called Talu, that where the yogi depart. So then they meditate to come to a point in absorption that everything else in this world, mental world, intellectual world, disappear. no connection. Even the person is sitting here in Alachua. It's like this. So that call the third dimension. No, that's third dimension. Yeah. Fourth dimension is beyond that. Just like a Usha and Aniruddha. In Krishna book, you read the pastime of Usha and Aniruddha, the daughter of Banasura. He's a demon, but his daughter was a Lakshmi expansion. It's a very mysterious. Because Aniruddha is Vishnu, Vishnu Tattva. Don't marry somebody else, it will be only Shakti Tattva. So Usha and Aniruddha, they used to have a dream. Not Aniruddha, but Usha displayed the dream. In the dream, she met her husband, and it was like a very mysterious. And she got, you know, like a girl meeting a boy. That conception developed, and the rumor spread it quick, and the Banasura came to know. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur made a very nice point. How is possible? When what condition they meet? Their dream is the same as physical. There's no difference. Like coward boys in Vrindavan, they also dream. Their dream and their wake, there is not like our dream and we wake. And Prabhupada made that very distinction in LA morning walk. He said, this existence is both a dream, because right now, what I had a dream last night, I cannot go there to fix something if I did mistake. During the dream, I don't have access to the physical world to come and fix. So because we don't have any access, both are false. Both are dream in a sense. When we wake up spiritually, that is real. But when Usha and Aniruddha's meeting was not a dream of this world, because they could fix and correct it. They could go back and correct it in the dream. While she was awake, Usha, she could actually trace what she did in the dream and get and fix it. Where did it exist? In your dream, tiger attack you, you have no trace when you wake. You have literally no access to that. So their dream is not a dream like ours. But that is Turja, the fourth dimension. It's inconceivable.
Okay, so Saitanya Janare Tumi Paramashraya Tumi Mula Narayana Ithe Ki Samshaya. You are the ultimate shelter of these three plenary portions. Thus, there is not the slightest doubt that you are the primeval Narayana. So, Krishna Das Kaviraj is establishing Krishna's supremacy. Okay, so this is kind of, this came out to be small, but I think it's readable. So, this, to prove that, to continue to establish Krishna's supremacy, Krishna Das Kaviraj quotes a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the purpose, the topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam are discussed. And there are 10 topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we'll see. And the way he establishes the supremacy is that the 10th topic, the Ashraya, is called the Ashraya, and that 10th topic is Krishna. And there are other nine topics in the Bhagavatam, are actually tatastha, that means marginal or secondary characteristics of that primary Ashraya. And that Ashraya is Krishna, who is discussed in the 10th canto. And therefore all these Vilasa, Garbhadakshay, Shiradakshay, all of them are basically aspects of Krishna. And Krishna is the key shelter, is the Ashraya, the shelter of all of these, and is the main topic of the Bhagavatam. This is what he will establish, Krishna Das Kaviraj, why he is quoting this. Pranayana Prabhu wants me to read this. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishna Das Kaviraj, the following verses, Madhya 20.263 to 264, summarize these principles of incarnation. Srishti Hetu Yei Murti Prapancha Avatare Sei Ishwara Murti Avatara Namadhare Mayatita Parabhyome Savara Avasthana Vishve Avatari Dhare Avatara Nama. The avatar or incarnation of Godhead descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation. That's interesting, for material manifestation. But he is not material when he comes here. And the particular form of the personality of God at whose soul descends is called an incarnation or avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material world, they assume the name avatar. Thank you. Okay, so you are the ultimate Narayan. So let's look at this verse. I found that in studying the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I began to understand the Bhagavatam. Atra sarga visargashta sthanam poshanam utayah manvantaresha anukatha nirodho muktirashrayah dashamasya vishuddhi artham navanam iha lakshanam varnayanti mahatmanah shrutenarthena chanjasa. Here, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10 subjects are described. 1. The creation of the ingredients of the cosmos, sarga. 2. The creations of Brahma, visarga. 3. Sthanam, the maintenance of the creation. 4. Poshana, special favor given to the faithful. 5. Uti, impetuses for activity. 6. Manvantara, prescribed duties for law-abiding men. 7. Ishanukatha, a description of the incarnations of the Lord. 8. Nirodha, the winding up of creation. 9. Mukti, liberation from gross and subtle material existence. And 10. Ashraya, the ultimate shelter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The 10th item is the shelter of all others. To distinguish this ultimate shelter from the other 9 subjects, the Mahajanas have described these 9 directly or indirectly through prayers or direct explanations. So many times you might have the question, well, the Bhagavatam is supposed to be pure devotional service to Krishna. So why doesn't it just talk about pure devotional service to Krishna? Why does it talk about this king or that king? You know, King Vena is discussed there, for example, Prithu Maharaj, and it talks about Kurma and all these different avatars. It talks about all these different things, that the creation of the cosmos, the creations of Brahma, how Brahma is creating the bodies, how the cosmos is creating all these, you know, tanmatras and all of this abstract, senses. So what's the purpose of all of this? This is not devotional service, is it? I mean, sometimes we can get the question, and the answer is that these are all tatastha, yeah, that's right, they are these secondary characteristics of the Supreme Lord. And we have to understand them if we have to understand the Supreme Lord completely. If we don't understand these, we cannot know the Supreme Lord. So that's why the Bhagavatam is, yes, it is pure devotional service. So, but this is from Sridhar Swami, that Krishnadas Kaviraj quotes this verse, which is very important for us. This Sridhar Swami comments this, makes this comment on the 10th canto. Dashame dashamam laksham ashrita ashraya vigraham Shri Krishna akhyam param dhama jagad dhama namami tat. The 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam reveals the 10th object, or the 10 objects. The 10th canto reveals the 10th object, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of all surrendered souls. He is known as Shri Krishna, and he is the ultimate source of all the universes. Let me offer my obeisances unto him. This is Shri Swami's prayer to Krishna. So, by using the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishnadas Kaviraj has established that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, is the Supreme Shelter, and that Krishna has become Chaitanya Prabhu. This is his point. So my presentation ends here, and we'll continue with the 2nd chapter next time. Yeah.
Last one.
Question. Well, it was a great discussion. Thank you.
Actually, about Srimad Bhagavatam, this last
yes.
point. So the 10 topics line up with the first 10 cantos, right? So Atra Sarga, Visargascha, Sthanam, Poshram, they line up with, so they are in progression?
It's not like that. It is because if you study it, actually there are 12 cantos. So then if you only had 10 topics, then what about the other 2 cantos? So it's not a linear progression. There seems to be some debate on this, and I just came across something in the Tattva Sandarbha. That Jiva Goswami says that actually all these are discussed in every canto. So if you look at the first canto, for example, Krishna is discussed. Krishna is going to Dwarka, pure devotional service is explained, that this Bhagavatam is Krishna is explained. So actually Krishna is the Ashraya is expressed, is discussed in every canto in the Bhagavatam, it would be fair to say. And
particularly the
10th canto is full of the leelas of Krishna. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, this is very good.
Very nice.
Prabhu, you were about to clear the vilas and leelas and the tatastha shaktis and leelas.
I didn't understand.
The tatastha shakti in leela, do they as well come or is it just the vilas shakti whenever it's happening?
Tatastha, when you use the word tatastha, it's a difficult place to imagine from here. It is marginal, but you cannot calculate like material proximity, you know, like America border with Mexico or Canada, you know, you can go there, you can see that actually there is a wall or something. Not like that. So, but it is there. It is there. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that when you see the shore in the ocean, where the water is touching the land, where is touching? It's always moving. You cannot really find the exact spot where it is. You say, okay, right here, the water is gone, and then the new water came, it went probably further. So where is the line? It's a kind of an idea that it is not in the material world, it is not in the spiritual world, it is in the in-between. Yeah. And it makes sense. From there, given we have a free will eternally. This is a chief potency. Desire and free will is always there beside our relationship with Krishna. And free will has a different manifestation in different stages. When you are in a pig body, or I should say, when a living entity in a pig body, you cannot, the pig cannot think cake is really better than stew. Now, how can it's possible the pig thinking that? Well, that's with their condition. You follow? Stool is better than cake, he thinks. But to convince a pig that cake is better than stool, I don't know. I mean, you can try. I mean, is there anybody in this room who thinks stool is better than cake? No, because as a human being, you cannot think. It's disgusting, you'll say. Right? So pig also thinks the opposite. Said cake is better. No, it's not. Stool is better. I mean, that's...
I'm just saying that the pig has the freedom to choose the stool or the cake.
Correct. Correct. Very good. So our free will, that's why I was bringing that point. The free will for a pig, if you put a cake and a stool, that's not really free will. I mean, he's conditioned by this body. So, there is free will, but that free will is not really defined what the free will really ultimate purpose is. Ultimate purpose of free will is actually pleasing Krishna, serving Krishna. In which relationship, you know, how to serve, that's all. It is very beautiful and we'll discuss this as we grow very nicely. But in conditioned place, Prabhupada even says in one lecture, your so-called free will, just give up that. And just surrender. Because when you think of surrender, you know surrender means. If I say I surrender to you, means what happened to my independence, my desire, whatever I want to do? No. It's like a lost. Looks like. But it's not lost. It is impure. When surrender, it becomes pure. Then the real free will exhibits to serve the Lord in a beautiful way. That's why we sing Tatrat Nikunja Juno Ratikali Shiddhi Jajali Bhi Jukti Rapekshaniya Tatrati Daksha Ati Vallabhasya. He's so Daksha, the Guru is so Daksha. Daksha means expert. He's so Daksha. What is that expert? That's free will, real free will. Means he arranged a new. The Krishna, Radha Krishna are meeting in the Nikunja Bhavan, Nidhu Bhavan, Kunja, Nikunja, Nibriti Kunja, there are three types of Kunja. Even there, they are already enjoying unlimited. But Prabhupada writes, devotee increase the Krishna's ladini potency more. Naham asanam asasse mad bhakti sadhvi vina. Krishna revealed this that in the part of Prabhupada writes,
that devotee means increase the pleasure potency of Krishna. It's very sweet to look at it. So what is this daksha guru is means? He's increasing Radha Krishna's. They are already happy, but he's increasing their happiness many variety way, many way. Ullas, bhava ullas. Bhava ullas means they are already happy. The ocean has a unlimited water, but when you see the waves, tides, it makes it. Who will discuss this question?
Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Durvishya Kipa Samanvaya.